ജയം വിശുപാല പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദ കി ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട ഓം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദ കി അനന്തകുടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദകി നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർധാനകി വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാം കി മായപൂർ ധാം കി മധുരപുരി ധാം കി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാം കി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദ സിമ്പിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദ സിമ്പിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദ സിമ്പിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു എൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി ദിനാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാത് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവദാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്മയാ ഇതരതസ് അർത്ഥേഷു അഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയാം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേ ത്രകൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാൻ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹം ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ പ്രവ്രജന്തമനുപേതമവേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി സ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിദീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം ജയമുദീരയേ അമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊണിദാദൃദാനനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭദാം മുരാരേർ മധുരിം കനികാഭികാവികാവീം നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഹരിനാമിനേം നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാണി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണീ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദ്രാഭ്യാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരികദോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So if you'll remember that verse in the chapter 14 which we were discussing last Sunday, Krishna said there, manmaya mohita dhiya purusha purusharshabha, verse 9. Krishna says, manmaya mohita dhiya purusha purusharshabha shreyo vadandi ekandham yatha karma yatha ruji. That's what we were discussing, isn't it? So there Krishna points out that the under the influence of my maya, Krishna is taking responsibility for that. He says, under my influence of my maya, shrayo vadandi nekandam purusha purusha yatha karma yatha ruchi. All these great personalities, the sages, talking about different sages, they, according to their karmam, according to their taste, they have said different things as shrayasa. Shrayasa means ultimate good for everyone. That is called Shreyas, isn't it? Shreyas and Prayas, you know what it means. Shreyas means ultimately what is good for you. That is Shreyas. Prayas means what is temporarily what is beneficial for you. Just like we work, we earn money and we spend. That is, but work itself is just to get the money and to live in this world. There is no other higher benefit from that. There is nothing else to get from that. That is Prayas. Shreyasa means that what do we gain ultimately from all this? This lifetime given to us, how have we utilized it in realizing the truth? That is Shreyasa. So Krishna is saying here, Shreyasa is what they are talking about, not Prayasa. Prayasa, there is no discussion in the Bhagavatam. Only about Shreyasa is discussed. So Krishna says here, Shreyo vadanti ekandam yadha karma yadha ruchi. All these great sages who have come up with different ideas, which he said in the next verse, ധർമ്മം യശസ് കാമം സത്യം ദമം ക്ഷമം അന്യേ വദന്തി സ്വാർത്ഥം ഐശ്വര്യം ത്യാഗഭോജനം. ദീസ് ആർ ഓൾ ഡിഫറെൻറ്റ് തിങ്സ് വിച്ച് യു ഹവ് ഡിസ്കസ്ഡ് ലാസ്റ്റ് സൺഡേ, ഡിഡ്ന്റ് വി? വി ഡിസ്കസ് ദാറ്റ്. വാട്ട് ഡസ് ഇറ്റ് മീൻ ഓൾ ദിസ് ധർമ്മം ആൻഡ് ദ പ്രോബ്ലം വിത്ത് ഈച്ച് വൺ ഓഫ് ദം. ധർമ്മം യശസ്, ധർമ്മം മീൻസ് റിലിജിയസ് പ്രിൻസിപ്പിൾസ് ഫോർ ഹൗ യു എക്സിക്യൂട്ട് യുവർ ലൈഫ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. യശസ്, ഫെയിം. കാമം, ഫുൾഫില്ലിംഗ് ദ ഡിസയർ. സത്യം, ട്രൂത്ത്ഫുൾനെസ്. ദമം, കൺട്രോൾ ഓഫ് ദ മൈൻഡ്, കൺട്രോൾ ഓഫ് ദ സെൻസസ്. അന്യേ വദന്തി സ്വാർത്ഥം വ, ഓർ ലുക്കിംഗ് ആഫ്റ്റർ വൺസ് ഓൺ സെൽഫിഷ് ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റ്. ഐശ്വര്യം, മെറ്റീരിയൽ ഓപ്പുലൻസ് ആൻഡ് ത്യാഗഭോജനം ആൻഡ് ഇവൻച്വലി സാക്രിഫൈസിങ് എവറിഥിങ് ഫോർ ഹാപ്പിനെസ്. ത്യാഗഭോജനം. സോ ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ്, ദിസ് ഹാസ് ബീൻ സ്പോക്കൺ ബൈ ഡിഫറെൻറ്റ് സേജസ് ഇൻ ഡിഫറെൻറ്റ് വേയ്സ്. And that's what we spoke about last Sunday. After that, what is happening is, Krishna says here, that the Lokayadigha, Sri Swami says here in the commentary, there's a group of people called Lokayadigha. Lokayadigha means, he says here, that the people who Tadhaiva Tyagam Bhojanam Cha Lokayadigha. That means people who are atheists. For them, atheists and the communists, both, they are classified in the same. Atheist, important thing is this world. This world, what happened? They say, don't care what happens after death. Right now, you are living here. We need all comforts and happy life in this world. That's one group. And for communists also, it's the same thing. But we saw the problem with communist philosophy. Samatvam yoga muchyate. They want equality, but equality is not possible on a bodily level. That is not possible on a bodily level. So, Charvaka Maharshi also, he brought this principle. And that's why we were saying that at different times, people have different understanding. Everything based on the body. Everything based on the body. It is the most important thing. All these principles are, all these different philosophical positions are based on the body. Based on the body. Loka yadihaha. Then, swartha, Krishna says, there is one problem in all these things. And that is the next verse. If you look, you will see there. Verse 11. Dukho darkhastamo nishtha chudranandaha shujarpidaha kejil yajnabodhanam pradhaninemaan yaman adhyandavandame vesham lokaha karma vinirmidaha. Krishna is saying there, in that verse 11, that there is a problem in all these different philosophies, what they have created. Because if you accept any one of them, dharmam, yashasai, kamam, satyam, damam, shamam, swartham, aishwaryam, tyagabhojanam, any one of them, Krishna says, if you think that you can become happy by following that, it is not possible. The reason, Krishna says, that when you do anything in this world, you may arrange, organize everything very nicely. Very nicely you will organize everything, your life. You earn well, you live well, your family life is well, social life, everything is well. But suddenly from somewhere, without any notice, some catastrophe will come. That we know how it is in life. It is not possible to guarantee against that. That is Krishna's point. That will come, he says, either in the form of death or in the form of illness, or some other distress will come, either children are not listening or they turn in the wrong way, or something like that can happen. Krishna is saying that. So therefore, so how will this happen? Janma mrityu jara vyadhi. And Krishna, these communists and these atheists, when that happens, they open their eyes. Up to that time, they won't open. Especially, if you notice carefully, you will see, most of the people become communists in the age group between 20-25. In India, it is Bengal and Kerala is in the front of the communism. And majority of the recruits are from the age group, 20-25. If they are not become a communist, then we will say, what's wrong with you? Because communism is so attractive to them at that age. But when they mature in age and they go through this life, they see that communism is also not the solution to the problem. Why? Because in communism also, they realize it that there is something beyond our control in this life. You may say, so many things they may do, organize everything, society and socialism and everything they will say. But when this suddenly hits them from behind, unknowingly, from somewhere something happens in life, then they open their eyes and they say, what's wrong now? What's gone wrong? This happens to them. So that's why Krishna is saying here, whichever sampradaya, whichever you follow in these, dharma mege, isaschanye, kamam, satyam, damam, shamam, anye vadandi swarthamva, aishwaryam, tyagabhojanam. Krishna says, in all of them, there is dukkham, there is distress hiding behind. As soon as you take that, you will see that suddenly from somewhere, distress comes and then you are puzzled. You are baffled by that. So that is the point Krishna is saying. Now, tyagabhojanam, because the reason for that, Krishna says, all of them has adhyandavandam. It has a beginning and it has an end. Anything that has a beginning and an end, that cannot have permanent happiness. It can't create permanent happiness. Adyantavandam evesham loga karma vinirmidaha. Therefore, for example, that nobody can, if you accept any of these things, you will not be able to stay happy here in this world. How long can you enjoy senses? You say you make a lot of money. A lot of money you have made in this world. So it's like Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or Ambani or anybody like that. Now they don't know what to do with this money. After making all these things, now they are thinking what to do with it. So this has become the problem for them. So even after making the money, and then because there is no understanding of Krishna consciousness, they will, with that same money, will be utilized for something which will not be very spiritually advancing in people. Not knowing the problems of this world. If you understand Krishna's point, then we don't have to take the responsibility on our head to change the conditions of this world. Krishna knows what's good for all of us. And He has brought us here. And He's put us in this situation, and He knows what to do with us also. That moment we take the responsibility on our shoulders, then we start working against Krishna's law. That is the principle. That's what Krishna is saying, that how long are you going to make money in this life? How long will you make money? And how long will you enjoy the senses? That is Krishna's question. Can you enjoy the senses continuously throughout life? That's not possible, isn't it? After a while, you have to limit yourself to two chapatis and a little sabji. There is no other choice. There is no choice. All the nice dishes are in front. You can't eat anything. What you do? Isn't it? It's a reality of the life. We know that. So Prabhupada used to say one example. He said that in Calcutta at one time, he said, all big businessmen, they'll meet together. And they have big dinner parties in big hotels or somewhere like that. All of them will come there, look at everything and say, everything is so nice, he says. And then they'll go. They won't touch anything. The reason being, Prabhupada says, that all of them are sick. Either they got diabetes or they've got some other illness, blood pressure, something like that. Body can't handle it. What to do? And they would have paid for it, loads of money, but they can't enjoy anything, nothing. The best sweets, the best food, but they just come and look at it and they go. They don't say anything. So this situation is what Krishna is saying here. So that's why Prabhupada says that, why endeavor so hard in life where you can find shelter in Krishna's lotus feet? Why go on doing this? But if you have to do it, use it in Krishna service and escape from this mess. We are caught up in so many situations in life. But if that happens, the only shelter we have is what Krishna says. If we follow that, then you don't degrade further. Otherwise, all this money, what will happen? You'll go for AIDS research. Well, first of all, why AIDS have happened? Because of their sinful reactions, isn't it? And then you're going to research on that and how to solve the problem, which is totally madness. Ask about that. Same thing, everything we create like that. The food has been completely polluted with chemicals, and then everyone is getting sick with the cancer and so many problems. And on one side, we are killing people. On the other side, we want to save them also. This is the sad thing, isn't it? On the one side, we are killing them with all our so-called development and technology. On the other side, we are doing cancer research going on all over the world. What to do about cancer? So this is what Krishna is saying here. That none of them, Arjuna Uddhava, is going to solve the problem. Krishna's point is very valid here. He says none of them is going to solve the problem. Why? Because adyandavandam evesham loka karma vinirmidaha. Krishna is saying there that it is all coming from karmam, all these things. Which one? All this money-making business and all the charity work, everything is karma vinirmidaha. It's only from karmam that has come. And anything that comes from karmam will not give you happiness. It's not the solution to the problem. Because it has got a beginning and it has got an end. As long as you're working, you can make money. You have to work very hard to make money. And if you are lucky and fortunate enough, you'll make a lot of money. But what you do with all that at the end, if you don't use it for the right purpose, without any knowledge, that money is useless. Without any knowledge, that money is useless. If they understand Krishna's words in the Bhagavadam and know about it, then it is not happening. Sometimes we talk about health, isn't it? So one person phoned a doctor and doctor said, you run every day 5 kilometers, you'll be okay, he said. So that person started running every day 5 kilometers. And then almost a year he was doing this, walking or running every day. And then one day he phoned the doctor, and the doctor said, "What happened now?" He says, "I lost my weight, but then why did you phone me?" He said to the doctor, he says to him, "That I was just thinking, I want to come and see you, but because I kept on walking 5 kilometers, I got so far away from you. Shall I come back to you by plane or train?" He was thinking that. So all these kind of silly things happens in this world. So you can run when you are young, but when you are 75 and 80, what will you run? Where will you run? What is this running going to help? Why? Karma vinirmilaha. It has come from karma. When you see people running in the morning or in the afternoon, in all the places, all over the country, and in India also they are running now. See, this they have started running there also. Adhyandamandamayavesham, loga karma vinirmidaha. There is no knowledge, therefore all these things happen. That is the point Krishna says. So, important thing is, if you make a philosophy based on the body, it will not last. It will not last. How long your body lasts, that long the philosophy will last. This is the principle. All these principles are based on the body, isn't it? Communism, socialism, and all other atheism, and all these things, what Krishna talked about, is all based on the body. This is a very important point. Why? Because it is this principle Krishna spoke in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. If you remember? Nasato vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. Krishna is very clear on that point, and if we don't take it, we have no choice except to accept that. Krishna's final conclusion is like that. Nasado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayoravi drishtvandam stanayoho tattvadarshibihi. That means what will exist will always exist. What doesn't exist will never exist. Isn't it? And who has found this? Tattvadarshibihi. Tattvadarshis who have caught the, who have analyzed this in depth, they have come to this conclusion. That is why that verse is so famous in the Bhagavad Gita. We'll come to that later. So, the same principle, body, shariram, material body, is asat. We are sat, isn't it? We are sat. Material body is asat. If you create a philosophy based on asat, it will not work. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is very straight about this. Start with the soul. Start with the soul, nothing else. Nothing else is acceptable there. So, anything... You adhyandanandam evesham. Everything has got a beginning and an end. And all that, what you achieve from that, you can only make a state. You can come to a state from that. And truth is not a state. Remember that. Truth is not a state. Truth is what is truth. It's not a state. Like Jagrat, Sapnam, Sushupti is a state. We stay in that, we come out of it, isn't it? We go into Jagrat, we come out. We go into dream state, we come out. Sushupti, we go and come out. But realized state, spiritual platform, is not a state, it's the truth. This is the point. Anything if you take on understanding that it is a state, truth is not a state, because all the other things have adhyandavandam. It has got a beginning and an end. And anything what happens is a after effect of that. And that is what Krishna says here, dukho darkaha. Very simple, Krishna puts it like that. Dukho darkaha, tamo nishtaha. Inside, ignorance is hiding. Ajnanam is hiding inside those words. That's what Krishna is saying. Dukho darkaha tamo nishtaha. It will create distress for you. And why? Inside, ajnanam is hiding. Behind all this activity, ajnanam is hiding. Ajnanam means ignorance. Because ignorance is hiding, the end result will be dukho darkaha. That's the point. Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam is very heavy on this issue. That dukho darkaha tamo nishtaha. If we don't accept all these things, simply keep doing, thinking that everything will come out at the end. It won't. It cannot. First of all, we have to understand what Krishna is saying. Krishna is getting us out of this madness, what we are in. Dukho darkaha tamo nishtaha, chudra anandaha shujarpidaha. Four things. Dukho darkaha. Everything will end up in dukham, he says. At the end, you will have distress. If you base your philosophy on any of those things, it is dukkham at the end. Tamonishta. Why? Behind that, there is no knowledge when you are doing these things. There is hiding, the ignorance is hiding behind it. That's why you are doing this. You can verify this all the time when you observe people in this world. When they run in the morning for their, what do they call? Jogging. Jogging. You have to feel pity for them. Sometimes you see them very serious. They've got music connected here and here. Then they've got a bottle of water in the hand. And they're running, thinking that they will live here forever with that jogging. But it's not possible. Sometimes they themselves know very well, one sometime or the other, they will get trapped somewhere. So dukodakaha. Same thing with anything else. You go to the gym, you practice everything, thinking that because you're making money, you're busy in the office, you have no time. So gym is the only, place where you can go to. So you go to the gym and do all sorts of things. But inside your heart, you know that one day it's going to go. The body is going to go. You can't protect it. So dukodarkaha. And tamonishtaha, ignorance inside. That is as far as that is concerned. And then the body is concerned. In the youth, everyone feels it will stay like this for a long period of time. Let me enjoy now. I'll see at the old age what happens. But before you know, you are old. You're old. If you look back in your own life, you will see 30, 40 years have gone. Where has it gone? It's just like a split second, it is gone. And before you know, you're old and you have to leave this world. So, dukodarkaha tamonishtaha. Then Krishna is saying, does that mean there is no happiness in this world? Krishna says, Shudra Anandaha. There is a little bit there. He's not denying that. He says, Shudra Anandaha. Shudra Ananda means very limited, you know, just to keep us going, ticking in this world. Shudra Anandaha. And what else? Shuja Arpidaha. Also, there is a lot of lamentation after that. Everybody laments at the old age. Why did I waste my time in doing all these things? That lamentation will come at some point in time before we leave the body, if we live a long life. Particularly after you see what is the truth in all these things, you'll ask that question at that point. That's what Krishna says. Shudranandaha, Shujarpidaha. Behind dukkham or distress will come after your experience, after all your efforts. So then, what is the way to come out of this situation? Eternally, how can you have peace in this world, peace in this life? And that is the thing. What Krishna is going to talk about it in the next many verses. In the next many verses. If you understand, take Krishna seriously, then you cannot go wrong. Otherwise, all our calculations and all our understanding will all go and hit at one point and we will not get anywhere. So, I will read those verses from verse 3 onwards to 10. Krishna's talk about those verses. They are all Shri Bhagava Anuvacham Kalena Nashtaplaye Vaniyam Veda Sanidaha Mayado Brahmane Prokta Dharmo Yasyamadal Magaha Tena Proktaja Putraya Manave Purvajayasa Tado Brighvada Yuvagrihan Saptada Brahma Maharshayaha Tebhya Pitrubhyadal Putro Devadana Gukhyagaha Manushyaha Siddhagandharvaha Savidhyadaracharanaha Kindevaha Kinarana Garaksha Kimburishadayaha Bahyastesham Bragadayo Rajasattadamo Bhuvaha Yabhir Bhudani Bidhyande Bhudhana Madayastatha Yadapagri Sarvesham Chitravaja Sravandihi Evam Bhagdi Vajidrat Bhidyande Madayo Nanam Parambariyana Geshanjal Pakhanda Madayo Abari Manmaya Mohitadiya Purusha Purusharshaba Shreyo Bhadandini Gandham Yadha Karma Yadha Ruchi Dharma Mege Shishchani Kamam Satyam Damam Shamam Manye Vadandi Suartham Va Aishwaryam Jagabhojanam Dukho Darkastamo Nishtha Shudranandaha Shujarpidaha Kejal Yajnada Bodhanam Pradhani Yaman Yaman Adyanda Vandamay Vesham Lokaha Karma Vinirmidaham Mayor Pidapa Subgenerations is Ravada, my Alpena Sugumental Class, Alpma Visha Alpenam. Again, Jenna said, Anders is on the Samaya, Sandushamanasa Sarva, Sukamaya Dishaham. So you'll see those verses. Krishna is saying different opinions from the people. And also, Krishna talks about a general pattern of all these things, what other saints, sages have brought about. So then Krishna says here, he's going to give his decision on that. That is more important. In Shastram, the system is what is known as Purvavaksham. Purvavaksham means, so what if somebody raises a question? It's just like Uddhava has raised a question. If a question is raised, what all doubts can come from that, that also should be discussed. This is the system. In all the commentaries, if you look, you will see. There will be Purvavaksham, there will be Uttaravaksham. Purvavaksham is the questions.
from different issues. All Acharya commentary, if you look, there will be see Purvapaksham and Uttarapaksham. Purvapaksham means that anything that any opinions, what can come about from that, from other people. Say Uddhava raised this question. We also have another question to ask about that. We may have some questions to ask about that. So that Uddhava's question has raised many other questions along with that. So all the other questions that has come up with that is called Purvapaksham. So that is how Acharyas answer. Acharyas will have one question and then they will answer that question. Along with that they will say, if it is like this, can this happen? Or if this issue is raised now, what's the answer to that? Like way they keep on explaining and expanding everything in such a way that you capture the message clearly in your mind. For that purpose they do like that. That's what it's called Purvapaksham. So so Krishna says there, everyone is working hard and knowingly or unknowingly they are working for only one purpose, to become happy, isn't it? Everyone is working in this world to become happy. So they all know that distress should not come, happiness must come. And that desire is in everyone. And the ultimate happiness is called Shreyasa. Shreyasa, isn't it? Shreyasa means you can call liberation or self-realization or Brahmajnanam or going back home, back to Godhead. This is all same at the end. How to free yourself from this distressful state once for all, finally, not to come back again and suffer through this body, material body again. That's why it's called. Different names they use, Brahma Prapti, Ishara Prapti, or going back to home, back to Godhead, or self-realization, or Mukti, or Moksham. All these things are relating to one thing, how to escape from this conditioned state, free yourself from this state. That's why he says here, that's why Krishna says here, that the Shreyasa, many possibilities people have given, and he says, Ad karma vinirmidaha. Karma vinirmidaha. Anything that has come from karma will not have an eternal result. This is the principle. Karma vinirmidaha. Karma cannot solve the problem. Unfortunately, in the modern world, karma is everything, isn't it? Everybody is running in this world. I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do that. If I don't do it, you will do it. This way, we are fearful about it. But Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us, wait a minute, pull up, pull back a little bit. Think about this. If the sages don't tell us these things, what will happen? We'll work 24 hours, won't we? That's what will happen. And it happens in that, and then what happened? All 24 hours will work. We saw like this in Japan, they like to work so much. They like to work. They work and then they go into that pigeonhole line thing, they go and sleep in the night. And they get up in the morning, so they don't want to go home because they say, we'll see the family in the weekend. And they get into the Tokyo itself, they want to go into that and they come back. And now what's happened? You can see. Is there any better proof than that? Krishna is saying, you are not in control of all these things. Your work is, what is your work at the end? What value has it got? That is Krishna's point. Adhyandavandam evesham logaha karma vinirmidaha. Karma is that keeps this world going like this. We are struggling. Prabhupada used to say the word that the material nature struggling against the hard facts of material life. That's what material existence. In the beginning, when young people joined Prabhupada, many parents were upset. They were saying to him that you have taken away all these young people and they are not doing any work, they are not going to college, they are not studying anything and all. Prabhupada said to them, you have done all that, now why you want them also to do the same thing? You have done all that, haven't you? And what is your state now? Where are you? And you want them also, every parents want that, isn't it? They want them to follow like them, like the way they did. So this you will see in many conversations, Prabhupada talking about that. So you can do anything about it. Huh? So that's what it is. Adhyandavandam evesham logaha karma vinirmidaha. Krishna says, so here you have to see this. Kartam akartam anyadhava kartam shakyam laugiya vaidigam cha karmaha. Karma is concerned, you have three options. Either you can do the karma or don't do the karma. That's one option. Another option is that you can do it in the wrong way, the karma. I can do the karma or you don't have to do the karma. That's one option. Either you can do the karma. Karma, you can do it. Or other option is, you don't have to do any karma. That's another option. Or you can do it in the wrong way. So here, if you do the action, you will get the result. It is Bhagavad Gita Bhashyam, it's saying, kartum akartum anyadhava kartum. Acharyas have analyzed karma very much in depth, so that we don't get caught up in this race, in this world. Kartum akartum anyadhava kartum. You can kartum, you can do it. Akartum, you don't have to do it. Anyadhava kartum, do it in the wrong way also. Shakyam laugigam vaidigam cha karmaha. So, if you do it in the wrong way, you get the opposite result also. From karmam, if you remember, we talked about what karmam means. Ulpadyam, ajyam, utpadyam, samskaryam, vaigaryam, apyam. Four things are one, what this we can say karmam means, isn't it? Ulpadyam means you can manufacture something. Vaigaryam means you can transform something. Samskaryam means you can purify something. And apyam means you can get to that place in some way. Get to something. Get something in this world. So Krishna says, in all of them, dukkho darkaha tamonishtaha. There is distress in all these things. So, keeping this in mind, we should analyze everything in this world. So, you will notice one thing, in everything, the after effect is distress. For some time, if you live happily in this world, then distress will come after that. And whatever you achieve in this world, behind that there is distress. And where is the happiness eternal, permanent in this world? Because Krishna is saying here, the whole life is mixed up with the distress. And as soon as you can see, as soon as you open your ears and put the news on in the television, all you hear is distress, distress, distress everywhere. Either it is tsunami, or it is war, or some kind of accident, or diseases, something like that. Or when all these things are there, and when they don't come, we say we are happy about it. So, all these happiness is, Krishna is saying here, all mixed with distress. Dukkho darkaha tamo nishtaha shudranandaha shucharpidaham. Krishna is not saying there is no happiness, but shudranandaha, very limited. That, for example, that is how it was explained. See, if you practice yoga practice, ashtanga yogam. Ashtanga yogam practice, when you are in your meditation state, it is peaceful inside. Peaceful inside. Aduna aham samadhi nishtaha brahma bodaham. But as soon as you come out of that meditation state, as soon as you start your vyavaharam in this world, what happens? The mind loses its balance, isn't it? While you are in meditation in dhyanam, you have managed to somehow keep the mind under control. But as soon as you come out from the meditation hall and you start doing your transactions in the soul, immediately there is mind moves. Mind starts moving from there. So, that prakshubdhaham asmi brahma bhavad. So, if you say that somebody is a realized soul by practicing yoga system, this is Krishna's viewpoint. Huh? That if you practice yoga system and if you get mind under control, Krishna says that will not last long. Once you come out from your meditation, you will again get disturbed from that. Sada brahmaivaham asmi avatishted. So, in other words, when the modes of nature changes, accordingly his mind will change. Sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, three modes of nature. As soon as you are hit with any of these three modes, your balance will go. Mind will go away. From that balance it will lose. So, therefore, a self-realization, as far as Krishna is concerned, is that one which has come through jnanam, through knowledge. In that knowledge state, Krishna says, andar meru avasthidaha, that inside, it's like a meru mountain. You are strong. In Yoga Vasishtam, it says like this, behir bhikshagra taralaha, andar meru avasthidaha. Behir bhikshagra taralaha, andar meru avasthidaha. Inside, like a Meru mountain, you are firm inside, fixed on the knowledge of the self. Externally, in the world, you will be able to conduct your business, whatever way it has to be done. In other words, externally, you are like a peacock feather. You will move according to whichever way it is necessary. But inside, andar Meru avasthidaha. So, Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, the three modes of nature will disturb the mind. And that is what Krishna is saying here. That as soon as you leave your meditation, you come out, three modes of material nature will disturb you. So, and those who have who have acquired happiness through any of these things, Krishna says their anandam or happiness is kshudram, very temporary. Bhoga kamepi asuyadibi shijarpidaha. That is what Sridhara Swami says there. That is an important statement. Sridhara Swami uses only very few words, but he gets a message through very well. He says here, bhoga kamepi asuyadibi shijarpidaha. Bhoga kamepi asuyadibi shijarpidaha. Tamo nishta moha vasanaha bhoga kale asuyadibi shijarpidaha vyaptaha. He says. It means, what does it mean? Bhoga kalebi asuyadibi shijarpidaha. Say for example, you have made money and you are enjoying life in this world. Many objects of sense gratification is available for you, but you are unable to enjoy it. Reason why? If you are physically, you cannot enjoy it, but inside the mind also, someone who has got more money than us will become envious of him. Or somebody displays a higher opulence, then this person becomes affected by that. That means envy comes from there. Envy will come, anger will come, and lust will come. Asuya kama krodham, he says. That is why Krishna says shujarpidaha. That word shujarpidaha has come from that. What Krishna is saying here is that even if you have made money and you are enjoying life in this world, that if you, even while enjoying, you will become disturbed inside because of other people due to higher wealth or higher fame. Somebody who is famous, he'll be more concerned about someone who is more famous, isn't it? Same thing, someone who has got wealth, he'll be looking at somebody else who's got more wealth. They're keeping it. They won't look down who else hasn't got it. They'll be looking up towards the others who's got it. So, that is why Krishna says here that this habit, while in this world, everybody want to be the first, isn't it? Everyone want to be in the first. But nobody can stay first in this world. Have you noticed that? Nobody can stay first in this world. So, nobody can live as an emperor all the time. Some point in time, he will lose his position. He loses. In any field, if you take it, it's like that. Say, look, for example, politics. You can see how it is, isn't it? They get thrown out at some point in time. And also in business, you can see big businessmen. They make a lot of money and they want to be number one in the world. But suddenly somewhere somebody else makes more money and comes on the top. Same thing with fame also. It is like that, isn't it? So this understanding, yadha sarva pramuchyate kamaye, that as long as kamam or desire is inside, this will happen. This is Krishna's point. If you have desire inside, it will come out in the form of this competition, envy, and also what Krishna mentions here as that the anger, all these things will follow. In other words, even while you are enjoying your wealth, you are not peaceful inside. Isn't it? Even while you are enjoying your wealth, you are not peaceful inside. There is still the anxiety there, causing all sorts of problems. That is why when you come to spiritual life, we don't want to be first, we want to be the last. Spiritual life is like that. If you look, Jesus says the same thing. He says, those who are first are the last. In other words, in spiritual life, those who say, we are in the front, I want to be this, I want to do that, I want to do that, they are the last. Jesus says that. Those who are the last are the first, according to him. So, one who is prepared to stay as the last in spiritual life, he is the first. That is how spiritual life works. It is like that, unfortunately. We all think we want to be in the first, it's in the forefront of everything. But it's not like that. For those who are pulling back and stay as the last, he is in the first. That is, so, in other words, one who sits in the front, he is at the last in Adhyatma. Adhyatma means spiritual. In spiritual life, he is the last. So, when, this is an important thing, when, when we don't want any recognition from this world, or we are not kept affected by the influence of Maya in that way, and then you are looking for recognition from inside. From inside. Who recognizes from inside? Krishna recognizes from inside. You see, so long as we go on looking for recognition from the world, you may or may not get, but you will never be satisfied. But if Krishna gives a recognition from inside, you don't want any recognition from the world outside. This is how spiritual life works. The nature of the spiritual life is like that. When we look for recognition from the world outside, people run around, isn't it? Where will I get recognition? Where will I get certificate? And why does that happen? Because inside we are not getting recognition. Krishna is not giving you recognition inside. All your mind attention is in the world outside. So therefore you are looking for recognition outside. Krishna's point is, so long as you are looking for recognition outside, then you will not get the recognition from inside. That is the statement also. Those who are first are the last. Those who are the last are the first in spiritual life. So, so long as we cannot recognize ourselves inside, that means so long as we don't understand that we are spirit soul and soul is functioning and Krishna is recognizing this, then immediately you will notice, you will get a satisfaction in life. Complete satisfaction in life will come at that time. Krishna is recognizing from inside. Why do you need recognition from the world outside? That is the question Krishna is raising there. It's an important question, isn't it? That we looking for recognition outside in the world. In Adhyatmam, in spiritual life, you have to look for recognition inside. That is, Krishna gives you the recognition, and then after that, you don't want any recognition from this world. All great Mahatmas have worked on this principle. The whole world was against them, but they carried on doing. Why? Inside recognition is coming from Krishna. Do you know how much Prabhupada had to put up with, isn't it? In this world. So many people going against him, trying to deprogram the devotees, trying to kidnap them, try to close down the temples, try to give a lot of trouble to the devotees and Prabhupada also. But why? He did not bother. Why? Inside there is recognition. What is this world for him? Nothing. He is seeing the recognition is coming from inside. Krishna is recognizing his work. And Krishna is saying, you are doing the right thing. Inside somebody is telling him, you are doing the right thing. Then you don't need any certificate from anyone in this world. So long as you are not getting that recognition from inside, what will you do? You will go looking outside for recognition. Then you want everyone should glorify you, everyone should recognize you, and you are somebody then at that time. But Krishna's devotee always thinks, I am nobody. Krishna is doing it and I am the instrument. So, whatever position you are put in outside in this world, envy and competition, all these things will affect us. That means, suppose you have recognition in the outside world, what will happen is that there will be always envy towards others. There will be also competition with others. One person will say, I can do better than you. Whether it is sports, whether it's business, whether it's even in spiritual life, let me tell you that. Even in spiritual life, it's like that. That you do something and somebody is doing better, you're competing with him straight away. Competition starts there. So this competition is the worst enemy. And that competition nature will only stop when we get that recognition from Krishna, from inside. Krishna says to us from inside, this has to come at some point in time in life. We have to feel, Krishna is recognizing me. Why should I bother what others think about it? After all, we are looking for Krishna's recognition, not for the world recognition, isn't it? So if you take it that way, there will be no distress in anything what you do. There will be no envy, no competition, nothing. Because there is nobody to compete. You are directly serving Krishna with all your ability. That is why Krishna is saying here, Shudranandaha tamo nishtaha shuja arpidaha. After saying this in the 12th verse, Krishna gives that decision. What does he say? Mayarpidalmanaha sabhya നിരപേക്ഷസ്യ സർവദാഹ മയ ആത്മനായ സുഖം യത്തൽ കൃതസ്യാത് വിഷയാത്മനം. സോ മയർപ്പിതാത്മനാഹ സഭ്യം. വൺ ഹു ഹാസ് സറണ്ടേഡ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ 100%, നോട്ട് കെയറിംഗ് ഫോർ എനിത്തിങ് എൽസ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്, who has handed over his mind to me, Krishna says, and who handed over his body to me and kept me as the whole shelter, whoever sits there, and for him, Krishna says that I will be present for him as Suswarupam, as myself within him. Siddha Swami's commentary, I'll just read it out, very simple words, he puts it like this, that maya paramananda rupena atmana സ്വസ്വരൂപത്വേന സ്ഫുരത. വെരി ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റിംഗ് ഇസ് ഇറ്റ്. വാട്ട് ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ ഇസ് മയ പരമാനന്ദ രൂപേണ ആത്മന സ്വസ്വരൂപേണ സ്ഫുരത. വാട്ട് ഹാസ് ഹാപ്പൻ ടു ദാറ്റ് പേഴ്സൺ ഈസ് സ്വസ്വരൂപം. സ്വസ്വരൂപം മീൻസ് ഹിസ് ഓൺ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ഐഡന്റിറ്റി ഹാസ് സ്റ്റാർട്ടഡ് റിവീലിംഗ് ടു ഹിം. വൺസ് യു നോ യുവർ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ഐഡന്റിറ്റി, ഹു കെയർസ് ഫോർ ദിസ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ ബോഡി ആഫ്റ്റർ ദാറ്റ്? ഇസ് ഇറ്റ്, വി കെയർ ഫോർ ദിസ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ ബോഡി. വൈ ടുഡേ? ബിക്കോസ് വി ആർ ഐഡന്റിഫൈ വിത്ത് ദ ബോഡി. We don't know spiritual body, what we are spiritually, isn't it? So Sridhara Swami is saying here that maya paramananda rupen atmana, paramananda rupam, that paramananda rupen atmana, so spiritual realization of paramanandam, extreme blissful state comes, so surubena spurada, it starts emanating from one's own soul, it starts coming out from the soul directly, and then there is no more no more inquiry about the about this world, what happens in this world. There is no desire, there is no maya paramananda surubena atmana surubhyatvena spirada. Then first thing is, Krishna says here that they have no desire in this world. First, again, same thing Krishna comes back to, that there is no desire anymore in their mind, and they have come to a stage, there is no nirabhekshasya. He says mayarpidatmana sabhya nirabhekshasya sarvada. No, never ask Krishna for anything. They handed over their body and the mind to Krishna. And they are saying to Krishna, you do what you like with me, with my body and the mind. I'll do accordingly. Whatever you dictate to me from inside, I'll carry on. In other words, false ego never pops up at any time. No false place for the false ego. If you do like that, because they have got the greatest, greatest treasure, and the treasure what we are looking for is inside all of us. This is the most interesting thing. And we are going and looking everywhere else in this world. Just like people, there's a big feast at home and I'm going outside begging for food. That's the situation. It's a nice feast with sweet rice, everything. But I somehow or the other, I feel that I have to go and beg outside. That's the situation what we are in. This is what Krishna is pointing out here. That he says here, that why my arpidatmana sabhya nirabekshasya sarvada aha my atmana sukham yatal kradasyad vishayatmanam. When he started experiencing that happiness from me, from Krishna, he says, and when they have no more desires to fulfill, nirabekshasya sarvada, then my atmana sukham yatal, they are experiencing the happiness of the soul, krada yatal kradasyal vishayatmanam. Such a person, what happiness will he have in sense enjoyment? Krishna's question to us. What happiness will that person have in sense enjoyment? This is the question he is raising. Then, as Antaryami, Antaryami means a super soul inside, Krishna is present in all of us. And what do we have to do to get Krishna? Then, all we have to do is to know our self-realization happen. That we have to know what we are. That's all it is. That is why, as in the, and because once you know your swarupam, your spiritual identity, you are complete yourself, isn't it? Remember this? Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnal Purnamudachyade Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyade. That is that verse is talking to us. Verse is telling us, Ishvarishad is telling us, Purnamadam Purnamidam. It is Purnam inside. That soul inside is Purnam. He doesn't require anything from outside. Any recognition, any money or any kind of encouragement from outside. He is Purnam, complete inside. And keeping this Purnam inside, we are going around everywhere in the world. Where can I be happy? This is called avidya. ignorance, ajnanam. This is our ajnanam. So you can see how deep-rooted this ajnanam in all of us. None of us are free from that, isn't it? Again, we are thinking that, oh, if I don't do this, what will happen to me? What will happen? Krishna is saying that the body will drop one day and go. That's all it's going to happen. Nothing more is going to happen. So that is what Upanishad verse is talking about. So Upanishads are pushing us strongly to come to that state, inquire about that Purnam, completeness inside. And why does not happen? Because when you don't realize it, there is this huge defect inside us called the mind. Mind is the one that is stopping us from knowing that, isn't it? How to control the mind? How to bring it under control? People ask all this question. Yogis will give one method of meditation process. Jnanis, they won't give you any process, any solution to control the mind. What they will say is that if you realize the soul, then the mind will not be there. There won't be any more mind after that. Once you realize the self, there is no more mind after that. So, how did this mind happen? Ajnanam. In the Ayurvedam, they say that vadam pitam kapham, isn't it? Air, bile and mucus. If it is in the unbalanced state, then you get sick. So, when the balance we lose inside, that's when the mind was born. Mind was born inside. Once you know what your identity is, spiritual identity is, that means you will know that there is no such thing called mind which is outside the soul. Outside the soul, nothing exists as mind. So, the problem with the mind is, when you start looking, where is it? You can't find it. But it's there. It is there. If it is something which you can see, tangible, then you can operate it and take it out. But the problem with this mind is, you can't see it and you don't know what to do with it. So, but if you say, is it there? Yes, it is there. So, how does this mind, therefore in Shastram they give importance of studying this mind. Mind is moving inside in the form of desires, isn't it? In the form of desires. What does desire mean? Something I'm lacking in my life. I'm feeling all the time like this. Once I get that, I'll become complete. I feel like that. So, and also the misunderstanding that if it comes from outside, I'll become complete. If you know the story of Alexander, Alexander's famous story. Yeah? Alexander, what he did was, he thought that if I get control of the whole world, I'll be happy. This was the illusion Alexander was in. So he started moving from Greece, kept on conquering country after country, and eventually reached Punjab, and then out even that part he has control and came to. But what he noticed was, as he kept on conquering, as soon as he leaves the place, they became independent again. You couldn't control them anymore. So he says there, just like a seesaw. When you sit on the seesaw, one side you go, the other side comes up. So, ultimately, Alexander started realizing, my own friends are my enemies. He becoming very suspicious of them at that time. And also realized that all that I've conquered is not giving me any happiness. And he was in a very disturbed state when he arrived in Punjab at that time. And Alexander's mother has told him, which he remembered at that time. He said to Alexander, my mother told Alexander, when you go to India, in the banks of river, Ganga River, there is a lot of people who are peaceful people who does not look for anything, totally satisfied in their life. Meet them and find out from them how to become happy. See, mother was intelligent to say this to Alexander. So it was Alexander remembered this when he got to India. So he goes there, and when he went there, he saw underneath a tree, this is a famous story, one Avadhuta was sitting there. This Avadhuta means one who has no connection with this world, totally satisfied, lying down underneath the tree, enjoying the sunshine, and if anybody gave any food, he will eat it. If not, he doesn't complain anything in this world. He's sitting there. So, he saw him, and he sent his minister to bring him to the palace. to bring him to the palace. He sent his minister to bring him over. So he went and called his minister. Minister went and called him. He didn't even look at in that direction. He turned his head. He won't even care to listen to him. Who this Avadhuta? Minister has come saying, and he was telling him, Alexander is calling you. Alexander is calling you, he says. So what? He didn't bother. He just turned his head the other way and he sat there. Can you imagine that? So when he sat like that, so the minister goes back and reports to Alexander that he's not listening. He's not bothered at all to answer me, he said. So Alexander thought that let me go personally and talk to him. So Alexander goes to him and says to him that we see that you are a great soul. Why don't you come back with me to Greece? He says. Why don't you come back with me to Greece? This was Alexander's proposition. So the Avadhuta says to him, where is Greece? He says. Greece is inside here, he says. See, they are talking in a different language. Alexander could not understand what he was talking about. He says to him, where is Greece? The whole world is inside here, he says. Which is right, isn't it? Remember, if you understand Krishna's point, when the mind pops up in you, only then the world exists. In other words, the world is inside the mind. You see the point? World is inside the mind. We make a big thing about whole world, this world, that world, so many other worlds we find out, want to find out what's going on all over these places. But strictly speaking, hasn't got any meaning. It's all because of drikka. The person who is seeing is there. Drishyam is not important. Drishyam, you can see so many things in this creation. This is where we get trapped. For example, let's explain this properly. We perceive this world in one way, isn't it? Because we have got five senses. Five senses, we see this world like I see the slide, the board, the heating system, the carpet, the table, chair, everything. This is my senses are telling me. For me, this is the world. Suppose you bring a dog here. Dog won't see everything like the way we see these things. Or for example, if you bring a worm, amoeba or anything, he doesn't have all the five senses. He has got only one or two senses, maybe. What will he see? For him, the light is not important, the walls are not important, the floor is not important. He will only looking for the food where he can find, and his world is that. So whose world is real? Is this the world what we are perceiving is real? Or is this the world of the amoeba is real? Or is the world of the dog is real? Or is the world of elephant is real? Whose world is real? That is why we say that world, don't give attention to it a lot. The world is not the solution to the problem. We keep on exploring in this world, thinking that what we experience with our five senses is the reality, and we keep on inquiring about that. But this world is not real. It depends on the drik or the drashta. One who is seeing the world is more important than the world what he is seeing. This is a big shift from the scientist's position to Vedic philosophy. Vedic philosophy is strict on the person who is looking at the world. Science looks at the world. What is so important about this world? You have come here 50, 60 years, you are gone. And you are taking this world so seriously. But who is important? You are important, not the world. Isn't it? You are more important because it's you who is going from place to place, wandering from one place to another. And it is you who is experiencing the world. Not this. And you have come here thinking you make a judgment to evaluate this world, whether it's a good place, bad place, how the world should function. All this is not in our control. It's all controlled by other authorities. That is why all the other material elements. So when he said that to him, Alexander said this to him, he says, come back to Greece. He said, no, where is Greece? He says. Then he says, where is India? He says. That was the next question he raised. Where is Bharatavarsham? All whole world is right inside me. If you remember this, what we discussed in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you are seeing the movie on the screen. It is movie you are giving importance to, not the screen. When we start giving importance to the screen, the movie becomes obsolete. Movie has no meaning, isn't it? Saundarya Lahari begins with this verse, Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari. World you are seeing according to your vasanas inside. This world you will see in one way, he sees in one way, I'll see in one way, somebody else will see in one way, which is real. We are all seeing in a very subtle level. You have to think this. Only then you will get this point. That world is experienced by everybody, all of us. But if you ask the opinion about this world, all of us have different opinion. Isn't it? Somebody will say, oh, Scotland is nice. Somebody will say Wales is nice. Somebody says Ireland is nice. Or some other opinion, America is nice. We all have different. Why? Everything what we see is based on our vasanas inside. That is what is seeing. The vasanas are making that judgment, not you. You are not making any judgment there. Your vasanas inside, what has come with you from previous lifetimes, that is what is making that judgment what this world is. You see? So if you keep this in mind, you become very much inward looking in thoughts. You can see from a very subtle level that your existence in this world is only important to the extent that what's happening to you, not to the world. We keep telling people that the world I have to change, world, it is not in your control. That will go its own way. Japan, with all its might, they were doing. One day, suddenly morning, everything comes and goes, the whole thing goes. Now they are all perplexed. If the knowledge was there, first of all, they won't engage in this Ugrakarma. Isn't it? Every country does this. It is going on in India now. Ugrakarma is in a very peak state there at the moment. Every state must have a few nuclear reactors, and then tomorrow what will happen? God knows what will happen. So we are doing all these things thinking that that will make us happy. Krishna's point is, it is not what the world you should worry about, you should worry about yourself. If you say this to people, they'll say you're very selfish, wouldn't they? They'll say like that. But this selfishness is good. This selfishness is good. Ultimately, it is only this selfishness that will save you, not the world. World won't be there for you. When you leave this world and go, who is going to go with you? Nobody will be there. So that is the point. He says to him that immediately Alexander started thinking, why is he saying like this? So seeing Alexander's inquisitiveness, that Mahatma who was there started talking to him. He started explaining to him that you are trying to conquer this whole world. But remember this, Alexander, one day when you leave this world, none of these countries will be with you. They'll all be gone. Try to understand. And he explained to him this Advayam. What Bhagavatam says is, Vadandidat Tattvavidam Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam. Advayam knowledge, that is, no duality there. Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavan Idi Shabdyade. That knowledge that Mahatma spoke to Alexander, Alexander came to his senses at the last minute. And that is why, what did Alexander do after that? While he was leaving this world, he said to the people, he said, when you put me into the grave, you should take me in a procession and you should leave my both hands like this, he said. Here is a man who came like this to control the whole world, and here he is leaving without anything in his hand. He says, leave both my hands wide open, so let the people learn from this. There he goes, without anything in his hand at the end. So this is what the important message. So, so once you know the screen, you will know the value of it. Screen is important. Why? All these things are happening in the background of the soul. Remember, we discussed this in the second chapter. Everything is happening in the background of the soul. From soul, things are coming. The material creation has come from the soul. Creation has happened from the soul. Shastram has come from the soul. Our mind has come from the soul. Intelligence has come from the soul. Material bodies have come from the soul. Isn't it? At different levels, I'm saying, different steps. But the origin, the screen, is the soul. So realize the self. This was the point. So, once you have known that, you will win over all other ignorance will leave you. This is the message. And then, why? Because at that point, once you have known the soul, you win over everybody else. Why? Because you know that the soul has come as Indra, soul has come as Chandra, moon, soul has come as Vayu, soul has come as Varuna, and all the other material elements have come from the soul. Friend, enemy, everything. Then Swayameva. So, then you know there is nothing to achieve in this world, anything. There is nothing worthwhile attainable in this world. Nothing to be manufactured. You are complete in yourself. So, instead of acquiring this completeness inside, Purnamadam, Purnamidam, that you are a fool who are trying to establish this empire in this world, and you are a real fool number one, said this Mahatma to Alexander. So everything you have conquered, it will go into vacuum state later. You have to leave that, isn't it? So Prahlada says the same thing to Hiranyakashipu also. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, he will see this. Hiranyakashipu, with the sword in the hand, has conquered the whole world. And then he is asking Prahlada, where is Hari? Where is Hari? Isn't it? He is asking Prahlada, where is Hari? So at that time, he says here, in a very peaceful state, my dear father, you have conquered the whole world, but you could not control your own anger, lust, desires, everything inside. So all these enemies are inside you. And so he says here, kama krodascha lobascha dehe tishtandi taskaraha jnana ratnavaraharaya tasmal jagrada jagrada. He says there that kama krodascha lobascha, our enemies are not this world or outside somebody. These are our enemies. What? Kamam, lust, anger, krodham, and desire. Kamam krodascha lobascha. Then dehe tishtandi taskaraha, they are inside us, stealing our knowledge inside. Dehe tishtandi taskaraha. Why? Jnana ratnabaharaya. Inside there is this absolute thing, pure thing, soul, which is full of knowledge. It's being stolen by them. Because in the mind, all these anger, lust, greed, and so many other problems are there, they take away our attention from the soul. That's why jnana ratnabaharaya, that jnanam, the knowledge, the jewel of knowledge inside jnanam, that is getting lost. Therefore, tasmat, jagrada, jagrada, always alert, alert. Prahlada says this. Tasmat, jagrada, jagrada. He says this to Hiranyakashipu. Kama krodhascha lobhascha dehe tishtandi taskaraha jnana ratnabaharaya tasmat, jagrada, jagrada. Mada nasti pita nasti nasti bandhu sahodaraha artham nasti graham nasti tasmal jagrada jagradaha. He says here, mada nasti pita nasti, mother, father, and relatives and brothers, wealth, home, everything, all these things have no existence. They are not real. Tasmal jagrada jagrada. Therefore, reality. Then you can see, Krishna says here, that enemies inside your heart, that is what is your problem. Money, you can lose it, you can get back later on. Jnana ratnavaharaya. But the knowledge of the soul, if you don't get it in this lifetime, you have lost it. The chance is gone. That's the important point. So, therefore, we have lost, we acquired everything in this world, but we have lost ourselves. What is the use? That is the point Prahlada is asking. So, you can also see this, the most successful people in this world, they are the most depressed people also. Have you noticed that? So many people, very, very wealthy, they have very, we call them successful in life, isn't it? Because they have, they say that he made everything on himself, he made the wealth. We give a lot of credit to that. But they are the most depressed people as well. You can see sometimes cinema actors, very famous, lot of money, politicians, businessmen, many of them at the end, they give up their body, give up their life. Due to some frustration in life, something happens to him. So why is that happening? Because they got everything in this world what they have to get. They got name, they got fame, and they got wealth, everything. But something inside is not there. Their happiness, completeness is inside. Everything is on the surface. So they were blocked on the surface itself. They got blocked. They couldn't go inside. Before that, they were blocked there itself. And that is why it says like this. They are unable to go inward then. All the lifetime they have spent in this world to acquire this name, fame, wealth and things like that. And at the end they realize it, that none of them is giving them any happiness, and then they give up the body and go. Why it is happening? Because all the energy they have spent in the world outside, instead of directing inwards. Though inside there is a vacuum. Inside there is a vacuum there. What can you do? The whole life has become a burden for them. And entertainment. So when there is no shanti inside, what will happen is, the mind which has no shanti, peace inside, when it goes out looking for enjoyment, that is what from the Shastram calls it as entertainment. You may find it very difficult to understand this, isn't it? When the mind is not feeling satisfaction inside, and you are going outside looking for some happiness from outside, that is called entertainment. Manasa wants shanti inside. And then jnani, realized souls, they don't need entertainment. They don't need entertainment. Because for them, they themselves are the entertainment. For them, they are enjoying their own self and they are entertaining with themselves. So therefore, you can see this in many places. You have to observe this and only notice this. Sometimes, when you go to some holy ashrams or places like that, you will notice there are people coming from different parts of the world. Especially in India, you will see this. And they had seen the world enough that they want some happiness now. They were not getting it in the world outside. So the inquiry starts inside, where will I find this? Where will I find this? That's why they come to places like Vrindavan, Navadvip, and so many places like that. They go looking for some, they are actually looking for their shanti inside, which they are not getting from the world outside. They will not be so much captivated by all the noise and the on the microphones or speaker sets outside. That's not what they are looking for. But what we have done now is that we have filled Vrindavan with all the speaker sets and all the 5-star hotels we are building for them. They are not coming to see the 5-star hotels. They are coming to Vrindavan to feast, experience this peace inside. Because there is a peace in those places which you cannot explain where it's coming from. It used to be like that. Where Krishna Balaram Mandir is there today, in 1974, if you had gone there, there was nothing there. There was nothing there. Just a lot of trees and a very a land which was, there was no activities there. And you could see sadhus coming there, lying underneath the tree. And they were feeling, the place has got that peaceful impact on you. But now what's happening? Everything has changed and people have become so busy, absorbed in their in activities. So, it says here that the, that many years ago, there was no entertainment, but people came. They came and they sat there. Just because that place is the place where great devotees lived. And because of their presence there, that place has its own peaceful nature. Immediately you feel that shanti inside. Immediately you feel the shanti inside. But now it has of course changed. So, and that silence or peace inside is more important than anything else. It has got more depth. It has got more depth. So, and sometimes in these places people come, they sing songs and all sorts of things. But you are not affected by that because their concert and their music does not bother you. You know, some noise they are making, that is how you think about that. So it is a very unusual experience, this. In some places like Haridwar, Rishikesh, and so many places like that, you will notice this. But due to this strong influence of the Kali Yugam, it's changing very fast. We think ashram must be very comfortable. Ashram must have all the facilities, hot water and all the sauna and all things like that. Ashram, they'll go and they create all these kind of things. Why I'm saying this is that when we don't get that peace anywhere outside, then we go to places where there is peace. There are places in this world where there is more peace and more sober people live. And you go to Himalayas, that's why in the past many, many great sages, they went to the Himalayas. In Himalayas, although living conditions are difficult, but the peace was inside in them. They had their shanti inside. Tataparam shanti upayati sakshal. Shanti is more important. Why? It is only in that shanti state you can quietly absorb what Krishna is talking about. It's not something to be captured by intelligence, by mind. It is to be experienced, isn't it? So that is why Atmajnanam, or knowledge of the soul, or Sasaruba Spurti, or knowledge of the self, that for him, Vishayatmana, he doesn't have to look upon anything else. That's why in the Upanishad it says, Atma, Atmana Shandihi, Atmaradihi, ആത്മക്രീഡകഃ ആത്മമിഥുനഃ ആത്മാനന്ദഃ. ദൻ ദേ സേസ് ദേർ, വൺ ഹൂ ഈസ് അബ്സോർബ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദ സോൾ, ഫൈൻഡിങ് ഹാപ്പിനെസ് ഇൻ ദ സോൾ, ആൻഡ് വൺസ് ഹസ് ഫൈൻഡ് ഹാപ്പിനെസ് വിത്തിൻ വൺ സെൽഫ്, ഹീ ഈസ് ഹാപ്പി. യു ഡോണ്ട് ഹാവ് ടു ഫിക്സ് എ ഗോഡ് ഔട്ട്സൈഡ് ആൻഡ് സ്റ്റാർട്ട് തിങ്കിങ് ദാറ്റ് ഓൺലി ദർ ദ ഹാപ്പിനെസ് ഇസ് ദർ ഇൻ ദ ടെമ്പിൾ. No, Alma is where, the soul is from where all the happiness is coming. It's not from the deity what you see in the temple. The happiness is coming from the soul, not from the deity. Because the soul inside is life. Soul inside is life. From him, all emotions are coming. All excitement, all prem or shanti, sukham, everything is coming from him. So the attention has to be there. That is why he says here, Alma Radihi. Alma Kridakaha, Alma Mithunaha, Alma Anandaha. So, in that state, whenever you look into this, that in a certain stage, we require to worship the deity. It is necessary in the beginning, because we are not able to look inward. We are not able to look inward. At that point in time, we need the deity worship. And through deity, we get our mind attracted to Krishna. And when we start understanding what is Krishna, then you start looking inwards of who is present inside the heart as well. So, Swayameva Sukha. So, saying that, for him, a person who has reached that stage, for him, sense gratification is a problem. He cannot enjoy the senses anymore. So, Mayarpidalmana Sabhya Nirabekshasya Sarvadaha. Mayatmana sukham yatal kradasyat vishayatmanam. In that verse, Krishna is saying like this. Mayarpidatmana sabhya nirabekshasya sarvadaha. A one who has understood me, who I am, who Krishna is, and who has taken his shelter, who is present inside everyone as the soul. Mayarpidatmana sabhya. And without expecting anything from me. Nirabekshasya sarvadaha. No expectations at all. My Atmana Sukham Yatal Kradasyad Vishay Atmanam. For him, the only happiness is in connection with the soul, in relationship with the soul. Why this verse is spoken is, Krishna is trying to stress the point how important self-realization is. How important it is to realize the self within this body. Then, in the next verse he says, Akinjanasya Dandasya Shandasya Samachedasaha Maya Sandushtamanasa Sarve Sukhamaya Dishaham. He says, that person who has found shelter in me, who has found happiness in me, his nature is like this. What is that? Akinjanasya Dandasya Shandasya Samachedasaham. He has no desire inside, completely free from all desires, and he doesn't possess anything in this world. He doesn't say, this is mine, or any possessiveness in this world. He doesn't have that. Akinjanasya Dandasya. And what else? Shandasya. Always happy inside. Shanti is there. Samachetasaha. Every living entity is equal for him. He doesn't say he is high, he is low, or he is senior devotee, he is junior devotee. He doesn't say like that. Shandasya Samachetasaha. Maya Sandushtamanasaha. Because he is fixed in me, the soul, inside. Sarve Sukhamaya Dishaha. Wherever he goes in this world, in all directions, there is only happiness for him. Imagine that state. Imagine that state. Akinjanasya dandasya shandasya samachetasaha maya sandushtamanasaha sarve sukhamaya dishaha. Krishna is talking about a devotee who has reached that state. It is not that he is seeing Krishna everywhere. What is happening to him is, he has realized the self. And he has started seeing self everywhere in all living entities. Only self exists. Only the soul exists, nothing else. Therefore, inside is total peace with everything. Therefore, there is no ragadvesham towards anyone, attachment or aversion towards anyone. And in all circumstances, he is shanti, in peaceful state. Why do we have ashanti inside? Because the ragadvesham inside, isn't it? Ragadvesham inside means ashanti inside, peacelessness, no peace inside. Because of ragadvesham. What else? Kartrutva bhoktrutva. All these things have left him. Akinjanasya dandasya shandasya samachetasaha maya sandushtamanasaha sarve sukhamaya dishaha. Krishna doesn't say, wherever he goes, in all directions, sarve sukhamaya dishaha. In all directions, all he has got is happiness. And Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, that is the state you should leave this world. Then you won't come back. Then you won't come back. Why? Because for them, then this country, this people, this temple or this society, all this has gone from their mind. Whole world is nothing but Krishna's manifestation. Imagine that state of consciousness that they have reached. We make it very simple, isn't it? Everything. Going back home, back to God, it is very simple process for us. But it's not so simple if you read through these verses. So that is the main thing. So, in order to explain this, there is a story in the Ramayana. Not in Ramayana, Mahabharata actually, that story is. It says like this. Have you heard about King Dushyanta? Dushyanta was a famous king. And this Dushyanta, it is in the 9th canto, the story. Very simple, 2 lines it's covered. The story is very interesting. Dushyanta goes to forest hunting. He was a very famous king, a powerful king as well. And there, in the forest, he meets a very beautiful, good-looking young girl, Shakuntala. Shakuntala was born from Apsara's woman, from the heavenly planets, from Menaka, for sage Vishwamitra. After Shakuntala was born, Vishwamitra did not take care of her. Menaka also didn't take care of her. They left her in the forest and they went away. They went away. Karna Maharshi's ashram was close by. Karna Maharshi goes and picks up this baby and brings her into the ashram and brought her up. Karna Maharshi brought her up. The baby grew up as a nice looking young girl. By just saying destiny, how it works in this world. Why all this story is spoken in the Bhagavatam is to tell us it's not your plan that works in this world. It's destiny already decided certain things that will work under any circumstances. If you are meant to suffer, you will suffer. If you are meant to enjoy, you will enjoy, whether you want it or not. That is how it is. If we accept that principle, then there is no confusion. Otherwise, every time a crisis comes, you will start analyzing it. Why did this happen? Why did that not happen? Why did Krishna not do? Why did Krishna this to me? Did this to me? All these questions will come. So anyway, Shakuntala grew up there, and by accident means by prarabdha karmam, Dushyanta comes to the forest and sees Shakuntala, got attracted to her, and Shakuntala invited her to Kanamarshi's ashram, introduced her to Kanamarshi, and married her. Dushyanta married Shakuntala. A child was born. He is Bharata, famous, the king Bharata. He is a fantastic personality, amazing personality in the Mahabharata, this Bharata. If you read about Bharata, it's frightening actually. So some of the things what he could do. So after a few days, Dushyanta goes back to the palace. Dushyanta goes back to the palace. When he went back to the palace, Karna Maharshi thought, now that the baby is born, Shakuntala should go and live with the husband. So Karna Maharshi sends, he has got brahmacharis in the ashram. A few brahmacharis, he told the brahmacharis, you take Shakuntala to the palace and tell Dushyanta that Shakuntala can live now. The baby is grown big enough that they can live in the palace. When they got there, the two brahmacharis who took them there to the palace, when they got there, Dushyanta says, I don't know Shakuntala. Who is the Shakuntala? He says. Imagine that. He says, I don't know what Shakuntala. He says, who is the Shakuntala? I never married anybody like that. It doesn't really. Because it has happened like that. So, at that time from the sky, there was a voice saying that Shakuntala is your wife. Obviously, they lived a long time in that day, in that time of history. So, eventually when the noise came from the sky, Ashariri, that Shakuntala was accepted and they lived in the palace. Bharata grew up in the palace later. He was such a powerful person, a real Kshatriya by nature. No mercy. And if anybody does anything wrong, he'll kill him straight away. Won't show any mercy to him. That was the type of person. He used to go to the forest and catch hold of all the lions, cubs, and bring them to the palace and play with them. This was the type of person. So he has a few wives, and they were all frightened of him, this Bharata. They were frightened of him. So Bharata says to them one day, sometimes he jokes with them, but when he jokes also they are frightened. Are they really joking or is it something else? So once he joked, what was the joke? that they were all pregnant. They were all pregnant. The wives are pregnant. He says, are they all my children? He says to them. So what did the wives discuss to each other, knowing well Bharata's nature? As soon as the babies were born, they killed them. All the babies were killed. Because they thought, if Bharata has any doubt in his mind about their chastity, and if he's going to kill them, we may as well, they may kill us as well, so at least we will escape from that. In that thought, they didn't kill them. But Bharata was a very, very powerful personality. And you have to read in the 9th canto, the history of Bharata. Now, why I was saying this was another reason. The two brahmacharis who came with Shakuntala, they came to the palace. And the comforts in the palace and all, they saw, they didn't like it. Can you imagine? They were living Kanvashi's ashram in that simple environment, with simple dhoti and lying on the floor, pulling the water from the river and growing vegetables, eating simple food, and that peaceful environment in the ashram they did not find in the palace. So they are saying to, the brahmacharis are saying to Dushyanta, we want to go. Dushyanta was saying, now that you have brought her, why don't you stay and enjoy here for a few days? They are saying, we are frightened of this enjoyment. We don't want to be here. We want to go back to the ashram. And they went back. And it is like that. It is like that. Today, we are getting attracted to all this enjoyment in this world. But Krishna's point is, once you start experiencing the soul, there will be no enjoyment in this world. You will start spitting at the very enjoyment what you're thinking as enjoyment today. There is no credit for anything in this world. So, all the devotees, all Goswamis you will see, they are speaking the same language. They will say, after they have reached that state of Krishna consciousness, for them this world and the happiness in this world has no value. Therefore, they took to their simplest life. Most of them wore one small gamsha and they lived like that in the extremely difficult conditions. So, taking shelter of the objects in the world outside, and one keeps on wandering in this world thinking that I'll become happy one day, he will not get it. That is what Krishna is saying here, kutasyad vishayalpanam, in that verse, kutasyad vishayalpanam mayarpidalpana sabhya nirabekshasya sarvadaha mayalpana sukham yatal kritasyad vishayalpanam. After saying this, he says, akinjanasya dandasya shandasya samache dasaha maya sandushta manasa sarve sukhamaya dishaham. Then a devotee is like this, he says. Symptoms of a devotee. What is that? Akinchanasya dandasya shandasya samachetasaha maya sandushta manasaha sarve sukhamaya dishaha. He is happy wherever he is. It doesn't matter where it is. He is happy. That happiness in all places, all time, is what a devotee's nature. You see? Devotee's nature. So, Ashtavakra Gita, have you heard about that? It's a book called Ashtavakra Gita. Ashtavakra was a great saint. His body was crooked. In 8 places it is bent, the whole body. He comes in the 9th canto. When we discuss about Solar Dynasty, he comes there. This Ashtavakra Maharshi. Ashtavakra has this highly realized soul he was. And the whole body is crooked. Whole body is crooked. So, King Janaka, Mithila, where King Janaka ruled, he was a learned and realized personality. He knew Ashtavakra's position in the spiritual life, who he is. So he invited Ashtavakra to the palace one day. So when Ashtavakra walks, he walks like a hunch. Also, not only hunchback, all his body is like this. He has to walk with legs and hands, everything. It look very vikradam, or in other words, very awkward looking body he had. So he walked into the palace, Janaka Maharaj's palace, and all the brahmanas and the sages were present there. They looked at him and they laughed, seeing his body. Ashtavakra was very grave. He went inside. Janaka Maharaj received him and gave him a good place to sit. He sat there. And in a grave voice, Ashtavakra was given questions by Janaka Maharaj, different questions. So his answer you should read. In Ashtavakra Gita, you will see the answer. There he says that, I didn't know that I've come to a place where people are selling the skin. People are selling the skin and flesh. In other words, he was saying, all these people who are here, they are only seeing the body. Isn't it? They can't see anything beyond than that. And I really don't want to discuss with these people about Brahma Vidya. This is what he was saying. Janaka Maharaj kept him in a very high esteem because he was always self-realized, and whenever he spoke from the platform of the soul. He had to accept this body due to some curse from somebody. That has happened. But knowing very well the prarabdham, this has happened, he was willing to put up with that, but at the same time he did not move away from his state of realization. That is self-realization. Under all circumstances, whether you get an ugly body, crooked body, or you get a rich body, poor body, in all situations, being situated on the soul, that is spiritual life. That is spiritual life. And that is why Ashtavakra Gita is saying, the whole Gita, if you read, it's only about 300-400 verses, Ashtavakra Gita, you can read there. He is repeatedly saying to Janaka, that these people here, whom you are keeping as advisors and scholars and all that, they are just like butchers and the skin merchants. That's their state of consciousness is. They haven't gone beyond than that. Because as soon as they saw me, I could see their faces all pulling back and they're feeling this superiority because of their body, not because of anything else. He said like that to them. So, another instance, what happened was that Janaka Maharaj had many students. He was in Ashtavakra Maharshi's ashram, Janaka Maharaj used to visit him. And there used to be some brahmacharis studying there with Ashtavakra Maharshi. So when once Janaka Maharaj went there, what happened was, when Janaka Maharaj went there, Ashtavakra Maharshi was there. And these brahmacharis were also there. So Ashtavakra Maharshi was talking about Brahma Vidya, about knowledge of the soul. They can talk, isn't it? Realize the state when they talk, it really means. And Janaka was listening very attentively. Suddenly, it started raining. So when it started raining, the brahmacharis ran away from there, who were listening to him. Janaka Maharaj didn't go. And at the same time, somebody came and reported to Ashtavakra Maharshi at that time that the whole Mithila town is under fire. There's fire everywhere. It's captured everywhere. The fire is spreading. The palace, the fire has spread. Even the inner courtyard where all the family members of King Janaka lived, that's all under fire. They said that to Janaka. Janaka didn't give any attention to what they were saying. Janaka was absorbed in the instructions from Ashtavakra. Brahmacharis ran away to get their brahmachari copy and underwear to pick up from the, because it was getting wet. That's why they were worried about. So few days before this incident, when Janaka was coming to the palace, Ashtavakra used to give him a lot of attention. And the brahmacharis used to complain to Ashtavakra, why do you give, because he is a king, isn't it? That's why you give all this attention to him. And we are here as brahmacharis, you don't have time for us, but you give so much time for him. So when this incident happened, that day, Ashtavakra called the brahmacharis back and asked the brahmacharis, why did you run away? He said, we had this kaupin hanging over outside drying, and that was getting wet, we wanted to take it out from the line and keep it. That's why we ran away, he said. So he said, do you know what is happening in Mithila? Brahmachari said, no. The whole city is on fire. And here is Janaka sitting there. So why, asked Janaka, why are you not going away, running away to save Mithila? You should see Janaka's answer there. Janaka is saying, what can burn in this world? Soul cannot burn. That was his answer. So high was that realization. You know, it's no point studying Bhagavad Gita if you don't get these realizations in, isn't it? That Krishna is saying there, you can't moist it with water, you can't burn it with fire, you can't cut it with a knife. So high is the position of the soul, and Janaka Maharaj's situation was like that. This is the Bhagavad Gita's beauty. It tells you, and Janaka, King Janaka, that is why Krishna quotes Janaka in Bhagavad Gita. He hasn't quoted any other king in the Bhagavad Gita. Have you noticed? Janaka Asthidadaya, it says in the 4th or 5th chapter. All these kings realized souls. Krishna says, friend of all of them is Janaka. Because so close he was to the self-realized state, always, in all situations. Even while Mithila was burning, he is saying soul cannot burn. Imagine that state of realizations. When our ignorance goes deeper and deeper, we will ring 999 for the shelter. Isn't it? For fire service, fire engine. That is the matter, influence of the matter on us. But influence of the soul is like this. Where is Mithila, he says? What is my palace? What's all that family members? In his state of realization, all these things didn't matter. This is spiritual life. Spiritual life is all this, not all the show what we make in this world. That as we understand that our identity is spirit, soul, nothing else, everything else has come from the soul, we get closer to the soul, that we understand what Janaka has spoken. Then we will appreciate that answer from Janaka. Otherwise you can't understand this. Ashtavakra and Janaka could discuss about the soul and spiritual nature of the soul, then they will not get under any circumstances moved or disturbed by anything, and that is self-realization. That's what Krishna is saying here, that a jnani, when he realizes anything happens in the world outside, it should not come and disturb inside. If it is disturbing inside for a yogi, it will. That's what his point is. For a yogi who is practicing Ashtanga Yoga, while in dhyanam state, he can control all his thoughts inside. No doubt about that. He will control his thoughts inside. Moment he gives up his life, the dhyanam state, meditation state comes out, vyavaharam begins, the mind will move. But a jnani, in vyavaharam state also, his mind won't move. That is jnanam and yoga differences. That's why Krishna gives that importance to jnanam so much. Ekadasha skandam is a mixture of jnanam and bhakti. Together blended very well in the Ekadasham. You will notice that. So jnanam is important from this point of view. If we don't accept Krishna, more than anything else, Krishna is always addresses Jagadguru, isn't it? Why is Jagadguru? You will see, Krishnaya Vasudevaya, Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsa Janura Mardanam, Devagi Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadguru. Jagadguru he is called. For this reason, that this knowledge of the self, the way Krishna has spoken, and Krishna has maintained it in this world while he was here, and in all his activities, all his pastimes in this world, and even while leaving this world, this was the same message he gave it to Uddhava. Only to talk about the soul, nothing else. Other things have no validity as far as Krishna is concerned. Krishna Mande Jagadguru. Everybody glorifies Krishna for that, isn't it? That Jagadguru. Jagadguru means he is the supreme spiritual master of the whole creation. There's nobody else who is there. Therefore, you will see there, when Bhagavad Gita began, if you remember in the second chapter, Krishna says there, that in second chapter all the essence he has spoken. If you understand second chapter very well, then you won't have any confusion about these things. That should give you the enough impetus inside to sustain your spiritual life, because that second chapter is so powerful. It says here, Bhagavad Gita means Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the soul. Brahma Vidya is finished in that second chapter. All other chapters after that, how to bring that Brahma Vidya into practical life. That is what from 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, all of the remaining chapters. So, it is a Yoga Shastram. In practical life, how to experience that Brahma Vidya, that is the remaining chapters in the Bhagavad Gita. So, there, Krishna began this verse, isn't it? If you look into Bhagavad Gita, this is the most important verse. In Bhagavad Gita, there is no other verse as powerful as this. I am not this body and all is important, but that is only for the beginner. I am not this body. I am not this body is only for a person who has started spiritual life in the beginning, to make him understand that you are not this body, you are something higher than the body. But this verse, Nasato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sadaha, ubhayoravi drishtvandam sthanayor tato darshibi. In the other bhashyams, if you look, Bhagavad Gita's Bhashyam commentary by the Acharyas, you will see that all other verses, they have touch and gone, touch and gone, touch and gone. On this particular verse, page after page, there is commentary on that. Why? Because it is through this verse alone, we say that the Acharyas' different Bhashyams on the Bhagavad Gita are important. Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, Madhva, they all wrote commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? All from the Vedic viewpoint, how it was commented. But when they commented on these Shastram, on the Bhagavad Gita, they picked everything, picked and choose things. Certain things they were not giving importance in the Bhagavad Gita. They'll pick certain important verses. If you look their commentary, you will see there. It's not a continuously writing big commentary on every verse. That's not how they wrote. What they wrote was, where is the message in the Bhagavad Gita? And in Bhagavad Gita, this is the first verse, they have given a lot of importance to it. Now, so though, that verse, if you understand, if you continuously reflect on that verse, it will answer a lot of questions. When we get confused in this world, within our material life, even there, that world can protect you or shelter you, provided you accept that, what Krishna is saying there. Nasato vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sadaha, ubhayor abhidrishtvandam stanayor tattvadarshivihi. So, in Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads, what you find is that there is certain messages spoken, especially the message only is spoken in a very summary form, in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Upanishads. More detailed analysis is in Brahma Sutra. If you study Brahma Sutra, you will see a lot more in depth study of all the spiritual principles is spoken in that there. So, similarly, Krishna also says here that the whole essence of Vedantam is in this verse, Nasado Vidyade Bhavo. That verse we must always remember, because people who are realized, Krishna is saying there, they have found out the secret behind it. And what is that? Only there are two things in this world. One is your Swarupam and the other one is your Swabhavam. Analyzing from us, everything starts. We analyze ourselves. What are we? We are made of two things. One is our Swarupam, which is the soul, which you cannot touch, which is always independent, unaffected by anything in this world. Other one is your Swabhavam, your nature, which has come from Prakriti. Swabhavam has come from Prakriti, Swarupam has come from Krishna. That you have to remember all the time. If you break away like this, ourselves, then we can do something about it. Why? Swarupam doesn't require anything. Swarupam is Swarupam. It is always like that. Swabhavam is what needs to be changed. That's where change is required. Swabhavam. Krishna says in the Ekadasha Skandham later that what is heroism in this world? Who is a hero? He says, Swabhava Vijayam Shauryam Satyam Jasamadarshanam. Krishna's answer to Uddhava. Uddhava, one who has changed his own Swabhavam, he is the hero. Not the one who has gone and controlled the whole world. One who has managed to control, change his own Swabhavam, nature, Prakriti, in other words, he is the one who is a hero. Look at Krishna's way of looking at it. Swabhava Vijayam Shauryam Satyam Jasamadarshanam. When you are seeing everyone on an equal platform, as equal, not based on the body, that is satyam, that is the truthfulness. Generally, we say truthfulness, truthfulness in this world. We say somebody, oh, he's not very honest, he's not truthful, this, that and the other. As far as Krishna is concerned, all that has no value. Krishna is saying, satyam cha samadarshanam. If you are seeing all living entities on an equal platform, you are a truthful person. That is the spiritual understanding. Krishna's conclusions on it, he says this to Uddhava. Swabhava vijayam shauryam satyam cha samadarshanam. So, here, two things. Swarupam here, nasado vidyade bhava, if you look at that verse, Swarupam is sat. Swabhavam is asat. Isn't it? You know that, huh? Swabhavam is asat. Swarupam is sat. Similarly, Swarupam is Atma, the soul. Swabhavam is Jadam, the nature is Jadam. Swarupam is Bodham, consciousness. Swabhavam is Jadam. Swabhavam is Jadam because that is changing, therefore it is Jadam. Because it is changing all the time, it is Jadam. It has no permanent... Jadam means something which has no permanent existence. That is what is called Jadam. Jadam does not mean dead matter. That's not what Jadam means. That Jadam actually means something which has no permanent existence. That is called Jadam. So, he says there that Swabhavam Jadam. Swarupam is Krishna. Ishvara is Krishna. Swabhavam is Jagat. the world. It has come from the world. You see, each one of us has our own swabhavam, isn't it? Our own nature. In different way we deal with this world, in different way we behave. Where did this come from? It came from the world we are living. According to the modes of nature, it is infected on us and we take it on board. And it becomes our nature. So, swabhavam has come from Jagat. But swarupam doesn't come from Jagat. It came from Krishna. It came from Krishna. So, swarupam is Purusha. And swabhavam is Prakriti. Yeah? Swarupam is Purusha. This is from the Sankhyam. All this is only to tell us to split these two into swabhavam and swarupam. This we have to hammer it ourselves. Even if you can't remember anything, if this one verse if you remember in Bhagavad Gita, it will help a lot in understanding in the process of self-realization. That nasato vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sada ubhayora vidashtvanda stanayor tattva dashiva. Why I am saying all this is, I'll explain that later. This swarupam and swabhavam is mixed up now in us. What we are doing is, we are identifying with our swabhavam all the time. We criticize others for their swabhavam. We don't see the swarupam in that. We see their swabhavam and criticize, oh, he said like this about us and he said that about us. That is a swabhavam, that you can't do anything. So, but if you can change your own swabhavam, Krishna says, that is spiritual life. That is spiritual life is all about. So, we are unable to separate these two, swarupam and swabhavam. Swabhavam is always on the top of swarupam. Every time we get infected by the swabhavam, isn't it? Swabhavam takes control. Suppose you are dealing with this world. Suppose you are seeing the soul in everybody. You won't have any problem with anyone in this world, would it? Why do we have all this problem? Because we are only seeing the swabhavam in other person, isn't it? So, having come to spiritual life, we should look upon the swarupam rather than the swabhavam. These are the preliminary steps in spiritual life Krishna is talking about. So, on the other hand, because swabhavam is above everything, body, mind, intelligence, false ego, all this is part of swabhavam. According to your swabhavam, you have got a particular body. According to your swabhavam, your mind works. According to your swabhavam, your intelligence works. According to your swabhavam, your false ego works. It's all a part of swabhavam. But behind all these things, there is someone who is standing as a witness all the time, observing everything, and that is you. That's you. That is you who are witnessing from inside. So think about mind. In our own body, there is a mind inside. And what does this mind, dealings with the world, it creates a lot of thoughts inside. That is what is called the mind, isn't it? And what thoughts should come to the mind and what thoughts should not come to the mind, you have no control over it, have you? It just comes and you will embrace it. And then you tell everybody, to my mind, I think I made the right decision, we'll say. What control have we got on us? When the thoughts come, if that in the some person who is pious nature, he will get pious thoughts inside. Because his nature is pious. Somebody else who is very cruel and cunning, he will get such thoughts inside. That is his swabhavam. There's nothing you can do about it. So this and there is a buddhi, intelligence, which breaks up all these things. That's what the buddhi does, isn't it? So, and behind that buddhi, intelligence, there is somebody hiding. That is the false ego. That is the false ego. And inside all these things, there is someone who is watching all these things. And that person does not get involved in anything. Does not get involved in anything. So everything what you see is Prakriti, but the person who is seeing it is Purusha. Everything what you see is Drishyam, what one who is seeing is Drashtava, Drukha. So, now, all these things is not philosophy. These are the facts of life. These are not philosophy, what we are talking about. I mean, we shouldn't say that, oh, this is Krishna's philosophy or somebody else's philosophy. No, this is the reality. If you observe yourself, you can see this. So, changing this swabhavam is a very difficult thing. It's not an easy thing. Certain things you can change. Say, for example, you should, as much as possible, you will say the truth. As much as possible. As much as possible, you don't take somebody else's things, something which belongs to somebody else. And as much as possible, you being non-violent to others and things like that. So, to some extent, you can control your swabhavam. Swabhavam is also based on the vasanas inside. The vasanas inside, the modes of nature from outside interacts, and that's your swabhavam, basically. So, there are some powerful vasanas inside which you cannot change. Yeah, this is an important thing. You may think that if it is like that, can I not change everything? No, you can't. Many things you can change in yourself, but some powerful vasanas you can't change. Even for highly realized souls, great, great personality, they can't change. It is like that. I'll give you an example. When Hanuman went to Sri Lanka, isn't it? Hanuman went to Lanka looking for Sita Devi. Now, what is spoken about Hanuman? Hanuman, buddhimadam varishtam, most intelligent person. Anjaneya Swami is the most intelligent person. Who gave the certificate? Ramachandra gave the certificate. Who else can give the certificate than that? Most intelligent person. And what else? His language is the precise language, Ramachandra says in the Ramayana. The most precise language he spoke without any fault in that. And surrender is concerned, nobody else can surrender more than Hanuman. His surrender was so perfect to Ramachandra. So from all aspects, he was a self-realized soul, great, great personality. So Valmiki says to in Ramayanam that Hanuman went to Sri Lanka looking for Sita Devi, isn't it? Sita Devi. So in the Ramayanam you will see Hanuman enters the palace of Ravana. It's a long, many chapters it runs. Hanuman was amazed by the opulence of Ravana's palace. You know, Ravana was so opulent. Why is that opulent? Because Krishna is like that. They are Jaya Vijaya, isn't it, from the spiritual world. So Krishna is very particular. When they come here, they must have all the opulence what they had in the spiritual world. So everything was provided for Ravana. And there were so many beautiful women all over the palace, and Valmiki keep on explaining all that for chapter after chapter. And at the end, Hanuman is searching for Sita Devi everywhere, couldn't find. At the end, he found one beautiful lady there and took that is Sita Devi. Actually, it was Ravana's wife, Mandodari. He says there, and Ramayanam is very interesting how he writes that. When he saw Mandodari, you know what he did? All his swabhavam changed. He started jumping out up and down like monkeys do, 4 times somersault, and took his, the tail, and started kissing the tail out of happiness. Valmiki says there, swabhavam you can't change. It's the truth. Such a realized soul and such a great personality, when he saw Mandodari and mistook it as Sita Devi, you should see his expression of happiness in the Ramayanam. How he keeps on talking about, he jumped up and down many times and created a big noise there, seeing the happiness of Sita Devi. And then he thought that he had seen Sita Devi. And after that, later on, he realized it was not Sita Devi. He found the real Sita Devi. And after seeing Sita Devi, all the vanaras, monkeys, they all got together. They're all devotees. All these monkeys are devotees. They all got together and they left home many, many months back, isn't it? When they were sent away from their family members and all that, they left and come here. And now they have found Sita Devi. So what did they do first thing? All got together and they had a big party. They had a big party to celebrate that they have found Sita Devi. Actually, this habit has come to human society from that Hanuman's monkey's nature. In spiritual life, you don't celebrate anything. You are only trying to get out of this. What is there to celebrate here? Here, our nature, I'm saying, our nature is like that. As soon as you pass the examination, call everyone. A big, what they call, a party. What for is that party? If you win the election, big party. It comes into spiritual life also. You can observe yourself and see it. I won't say it. If I say, you will take it in the wrong way. In spiritualized people, they're engaging in this partying business. So what do you say about that? They also, as soon as the big celebration is over, they want a party. They want to celebrate it. So this is monkey's habit. Spiritually advanced people, they don't do these things. They will see in every situation, they are fixed on the truth. Partying is for what? That they found Sita Devi, they had a big party. And then they all come back and Hanuman reports this to Ramachandra. And Ramachandra recognizes him and all. That's all in the Ramayana. It's a long, long, many, many chapters there. So, what I was coming to tell you was, Swabhavam you can't change. Prabala Vasana it is called. Very powerful Vasanas inside. And that is so embedded inside us, it will come out at some point. Even if you want to change it, you can't change it. Therefore, how can you change it? This is the question then, isn't it? What do you do? Change that. The only way Shastram tells us is that if you have knowledge inside, then even if you celebrate, it will not get inside. It will not have its effect inside. You may do many things in this world, but the knowledge inside is protecting you all the time. Otherwise, what will happen? That's in the name of celebration, it can turn into a big party, isn't it? It will go in the wrong way. All sorts of things will happen. Then they will argue each other, quite shout at each other. But those things happen later. The point I'm making is that Swabhava Vijayam Shauryam Satyanja Samadarshanam. Krishna's point is, if you have won over your Swabhavam, you have won over this world. World is the Swabhavam in you. And if you won over this Swabhavam, you have won over the world. Nothing can disturb you inside anymore. You are free from all effects of the modes of material nature. So Hanuman's, this story is spoken in the Ramayanam, and at that point Valmiki Maharshi is saying to us, Kapindram, look at his state, he says. And it is this Hanuman who is sitting on the flagship of, on the chariot. Remember where Krishna, what did he say to Hanuman? So Krishna was talking Bhagavad Gita. Three people were listening, isn't it? Hanuman was listening, Arjuna was listening, Dhritarashtra was listening. Among listeners also, you have these three categories. Uttamam, Madhyamam, Adhamam. Hanuman did not ask one question throughout when Bhagavad Gita was spoken. You know that. Hanuman was sitting on the flag, never asked one question. On the other hand, when Krishna was trying to explain something, Hanuman got involved and started saying, it's not like that, it's like this, he says to Krishna. To such an extent, he was so conversant. And that is when Krishna got upset with him and told him that whatever you have understood, it will not stay in this world. And therefore, Hanuman wrote his famous commentary, not as Paishajika Bhashyam. It has gone out of existence. We can't get a copy of that. Paishajika Bhashyam it is called. Because Hanuman's commentary is called Paishajika Bhashyam, and he interfered. Krishna asked Hanuman this question. When two people are talking, is it proper for you to interfere in that? He asked that question. So anyway, Hanuman kept quiet at that time. Never asked one question. Everything when Krishna was spoken, he was already in that state. So he was feeling happiness inside. Experiencing that knowledge and realizing it inside, Hanuman was in the state of happiness. That is the first class listener. Then we have got a second class listener, Arjuna. Arjuna, what does he do? He will ask questions, get clarified, and then he will reflect on it. And this way, he will discuss everything. He will discuss everything and then gets clarified everything. That is Arjuna. Arjuna's nature you have seen, how he is. Every chapter Arjuna has some question to ask. So he was asking questions, getting clarified. So this is a second class listener who has got questions. This is why I was saying, one who is not asking any question is the best listener. Not, but it can be either Hanuman or it can be Dhritarashtra also. So the third class listener is Dhritarashtra. He heard everything, he has understood nothing. That is Dhritarashtra. Isn't it? You know in Bhagavad Gita. He heard the whole Bhagavad Gita, but he understood nothing. Still, he was still talking about my son Duryodhana. If I don't do it, who else will do it? We'll look after him. This kind of talk. That is Dhritarashtra. So, three kinds of categories of listeners, and Hanuman is the topmost listener. And even that powerful personality, Hanuman, if he can't change his swabhavam, what chance have you and me got? This is the question. Our swabhavam is so embedded inside that it is very prevalent, very powerful inside. And we will act in that way under all circumstances. Under all circumstances. Sometimes in life you get various situations where you don't know which way to make the decision. Then according to your swabhavam, you will make the decision. Isn't it? According to your swabhavam, you will make the decision. So that is the most important point. Swabhava vijayam shauryam sattvam cha samadarshanam. Bhagavadam, if you keep on analyzing, a lot of things will come out from that. And the more you understand, you will enjoy Bhagavadam in this way. Bhagavadam's beauty is like that. Purely on a spiritual platform, everything is spoken. Completely takes us away from the bodily identity. Together, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita's commentary is Srimad Bhagavadam actually. In one sense, Bhagavad Gita, the science, is commented and detailed explanation is Srimad Bhagavadam. They are so close together, the knowledge-wise. The same knowledge in examples of devotees, jnanis, and Krishna himself talking to Uddhava, we have got Srimad Bhagavadam in that way. So, continuously if you refer to these two literature, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavadam, and constantly reflecting these verses, what Krishna is saying there, you will understand what is spiritual life is, what spiritual life really means. And therefore, Krishna says, akinjanasya dandasya shandasya. That state won't come very easily unless this knowledge goes inside. When the knowledge becomes established inside, then maya sandushta manasaha. Always we are peaceful with inside. And sarve sukhamaya adishaha. In all directions there is only happiness. So it's 4:30. We'll stop there. And one or two things. We have a sponsor to pay for the hall. So what we'll do, either we can have this hall or the other hall, big hall. But I understand that that hall may not be available till 3:00 or 3:30. 2:30. It says 2:30? 2:30, yes. Yeah. So we have an option either to hire that hall or alternatively there is a nice hall in Radlett as well. Radlett, you know, is close by from Lajmohit. Huh? And they're also reasonable. They're willing to give it to us in the morning between 9 and 1 or between 2 to 5:30. Other way. Yeah. 9 to 1, yeah. So if morning time is convenient, I was thinking, why not use the morning hours? Because morning time you're more attentive, isn't it? And we can even start earlier, I'm told, 8:00 or so. So what I'll do, we'll go and look at that hall again. And then I was thinking that maybe we use this hall for Sunday. This one here, the big hall. Mm-hmm. And Saturday we can use, we keep both in one way or the other. So, and then we have to find a place for Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. In July, we want to discuss whole time. So we'll have to look at that option also here, as well as Radlett, or whoever can give us, because I think it will be difficult here to get 2 weeks full time. They have a lot of things going on here. But at least if we can get that hall for Sunday program, and Radlett hall for the Saturday, I will organize all that. And then, as you know, that we are doing it through a charity. Yeah? Charity will pay for it. And if anybody wants to contribute, you can give it to the charity. What we'll do, if there is any money extra, we'll use that money for feeding people in the temples in India. There's a lot of places where prasadam distribution is going on, and there's no money will help to poor people. If nobody gives any money, doesn't matter also. Money is not the important thing. Important thing is you hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That's more important. If you have money, you want to give it, give it. If you don't have it, don't worry about it. That's not the issue at all. What I'm saying is that we are getting an opportunity that we can use that hall, the big hall, or we can use the Radlett. So I was thinking that we may use this for Sunday and the other one for Saturday. But here, I think we are limited with the time, 2:00, just like we are using today, 2:30 to 5:30. Perhaps it's not a bad thing because the hall looks good. Hall is quite comfortable. we keep that and the other one for Saturday. That's the plan. Yeah, so once we book and we have the money, then we can they'll confirm that. Yeah, they both have said that. That provided you book it in advance, and they will send the invoice to our charity, and charity will pay it every month. The charity will pay. So that is what the plan at the moment. Let's hope it works out.